Now 11:18, there's a few minutes before I chat to the lady of the moment, Liesel Snyman. If you've been wondering when she's coming back, she is back. She's live in studio with me this time around. Not like last week when we had that on rather telephonic chat, right? So quickly after this, I believe she will be touching and elaborating on the impact of divorce on children. Stay close. It's in season what an abrupt end, Aaron Neville. Anyway, we love this song. I was not ready for that end. It's titled I Believe, and we believe that lives will be impacted now, as you know that it is Tuesday. She's here fortnightly.
Fortnightly, yes.
I still need to catch up. I'm slow. Thank you. Come on. Yes, fortnightly. She's back. Oh, it was so beautiful. I mean, I can just, the list is endless. Yeah.
Oh, and so do you. I know you don't sound that great because your body, but I mean the radiance is just coming through. Regardless.
Thank you. Are you well, though?
I am very well. Thank you, Queen. It's happy to be here and so excited. It's been a fortnight, yes.
It's been a fortnight. It felt like 3 weeks because the other week you were telephonic.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So it actually has been a month then.
Yeah, it felt longer. Sure, I'm glad you're back, though.
Thank you so much. I am as well. Mm. I'm happy to be here. Pleased.
Yeah. Right, friends, as I alluded earlier on, we are touching on the impact of divorce on children. Now, it is said that, the process of forming a new blended family can be both a rewarding and challenging experience, while the parents may approach remarriage with excitement, the lifetime ahead. However, children don't always share the same excitement. Mm. As we are now joined in studio by Sisters of Sisters, Queens of Queens. who, of course, will be leading this conversation on the impact of divorce on children. Liz, what can you tell us about, your experience as a mom in a blended family?
Saki, I love how you actually asked me, what can I tell about my experience? Because that is really it. There's no one size fit all when it comes to something as great an event as divorce and what it leaves on the family. So I'll be sharing my views and my experiences or my views based on my own experiences, but at the same time, I know there's a community of parents that is always tuned in. I'd like you to talk along. Maybe there are things that you learned after the fact that is maybe going to be helpful for somebody going through a similar experience. So I'm going to start by saying that I was not ready for the dynamics that came with blended family. After, I was single for just shy of 7 years before I met Johnny. Yeah. And Johnny came in and he treated me like a queen. And I mean, he literally swept me off my feet. Yeah. So that is what I was focused on. And in my mind, I thought the whole process of, transitioning from a single parent to a now blended family would be very easy because my children gotten along with Johnny so great. Mm. But I really, really, really did not consider where my children were at that point in time. Yeah. So, and also what it is that they were dealing with, and I want to give the listener some context why I say that. Mm-hmm. I didn't consider that my new family was built on something that my children had lost.
Sure.
And I want to make sense of this because after having gone through a divorce and now having had their mommy for 6 years as a single parent, that became their family unit.
Yeah.
So my happiness was now built on something that was now taken away from them. And they now had to readapt to this new family dynamics where there is somebody else standing in as a father figure in a space which they ultimately only had and shared with their mother alone. So, and I think anybody who has lost something, there's a grief process attached to it, So with the process of grief, we get anger, denial. We get bargaining. We get depression. And then lastly, we might get acceptance. And even after acceptance, there might be a recycle back into the previous emotions. Sure. And that process of grief manifests other emotions. Mm-hmm. You can ask Okay, I don't want to generalize, but many blended families will attest to this, that one of the greatest challenges that they sit with is the rebellion that children often, that surfaces once the new family dynamic starts. And that is actually emotions that comes because of a grief. The children are grieving something. They have lost something in the process. So in essence, if I have to make sense of it, ultimately, when we go into a new union, we build our new on the ruins of an old establishment that the children used to have. So, which means that underneath that foundation that we have now created, the children are still sitting with that anger, resentment, questions. But why? Why? Because they are fighting this thing that they didn't ask. They are being pulled in it because it's decisions that the parents took. So, and the first mistake that I made as a mother is that I assumed that my children will be ready. But their unreadiness came in every single rebellion, emotion, anger, fights, arguments that surfaced afterwards because my children weren't adapting to that. What I didn't see at that time is that my children, my new happy was just another wound for them. And saying it now, look, we're in a much better place, but we had to talk about it. What were the things that we did wrong? And for them, it was, this is now just another wound because we were okay. But why? And so, so they didn't really look at the, I was now in a relationship and I found somebody, but it was a wound for them, especially because they experienced their mother alone for six years and now there was somebody else. So my newfound happiness ultimately became like a nail to the coffin of a family that they already had in their mind. And these are things that we don't talk about. I wasn't prepared for it, and hopefully this conversation is going to help somebody who's finding themselves in a similar type of position.
Yeah, sure. I can really attest to, you know, the rebellion because I come from a blended family to, you know, having a stepfather with an absent father, biological father, asking questions. How can you move on? And aren't you considerate of my feelings and my emotions, feelings, what I want, what I think is best for us, you know? And in the process, I was very quite rebellious, you know,
Because you were mourning. I was mourning. Mm-hmm. We don't know at that time, but I mean, that is why reflection is so important. And our discussion today is to help parents who are finding themselves in that situation right now.
And with what you just said now, you've really opened my mind to better understand, you know, what lies beneath the surface of a blended family. Now, what has your experience taught you, and also what advice or tips would you render to blended families today?
I think as parents, we need to consider that our mourning and our healing timelines are significantly different than those of the children. And again, as a parent, I mourned all my mistakes. I went through that process. That 6 years was my process and timeline. I mourned my mistakes of the first marriage, and then I grieved all the pain that was inflicted on me in my second marriage. And then I went through the depression where I needed to go seek medical attention or help for what I was dealing through at that time. And every single stage that I experienced in my grief and in my process of dealing with the fact that another marriage has failed, my children also were affected by my stages. So think of it. You going through all these stages, your children are experiencing it. They leave for the weekend to go to the other parent, and that parent is also going through stages of grief over a failure of a marriage, over loss. And so they are getting it from multiple places. Now I'm saying multiple places, but what about if the children were uprooted from where they used to live? They needed to go to another school. They had to move churches. Everything changed for them, and in every situation they needed to now adapt. I wish I I considered that, but I didn't. That's the reality of it. I'm grateful that God has allowed me an opportunity to speak about what I had missed. But all those ripples ultimately leave something on our children. And just based on what I just mentioned that now, I think the impact of the divorce, even though the value and the good that you as a parent see, the children don't see it immediately because they still have ripples in their mind. The father is not there. The mother has moved out. Depending on where the child moves to, there's a new person in our home. My space is different. There's another child that I now need to call sister or brother. And so it's all these dynamics. So I think time creates space for other, for healing, but also for other events to happen. And the events that I'm referencing to, alluding to, is rebellion. So as blended parents, this is what I want to say, as blended parents, we need to learn to adapt and evolve, learn and unlearn, fail and start again, and allow our children to settle. And we need to find the best approach to allow them a easy route to a place of settlement. I want to use this word that I heard from Sarah Jakes Roberts. She spoke about confluence. Confluence is when two rivers join. So when the two rivers join to become one, the organism of that river changes completely. But there's like a disruption initially. So it's exactly the same with blended family. It's two different dynamics coming together. There's initial disruption. The children go through all of that. So all I know is that our children should not end up as casualties of our wars. And because we don't want them to be casualties of our wars, we shouldn't ignore the fact that they are also grieving, that we need to give them time to heal. Give them time to heal. And the understanding, these type of conversations that we have now, gives understanding, and understanding increases compassion. That whilst, yes, we need to discipline the rebellion, we need to do it with compassion, that we don't lose the child as the casualty of a war that we created. And that is ultimately, I think, my response that I want to give on your question.
Now, understanding that there is literally no one-size-fits-all approach, would you mind to share, you know, any practical steps that will better equip parents to help the children navigate through their own process of healing?
I actually have. This is something that I gave a lot of thought to because I realized that it might come up as a question. So I think parents, we start off with this dream. I met Johnny, you know, he's now the king that treated his queen. And for me, I felt like after 6 years being a single mom, there's now another person that can help me as a, you know, a parental figure to kind of assist at home. But the reality was it was not, it was a dream. It actually doesn't work like that in reality, because in order for the children to kind of get used to the confluence, we need to create moments for them to blend. The merger needs to then happen. So I have 5 points that I want to mention. Firstly is tip number one, allow the children time to blend with their new. Make room for failures, for outbursts, for questions, and more failures. More specifically, if you were like Johnny and I was, we didn't talk about these things before we got married. We didn't talk about what is the deal with chores. You know, how do you do it in your house? How am I doing it in my house? We didn't speak about new values as a family. We didn't speak about what is the culture of the family. Do you kiss one another when you leave the house, or do you not kiss, or, you know, what happens? So, and because if you have not had that conversation, you need to allow room for those type of things that you don't take it personally. Address it when it happens. we need to man up. And okay, I always speak about choice and consequences. Mm-hmm. If you haven't followed a process that caters for everything, there's a consequence that follows. So there's a consequence to that. So then we deal with it. Mm-hmm. We correct immediately. We have the conversations. That's tip number one. Tip number two, be expectant of the parent that comes into the house, that your relationship with the blended child will evolve. So there's always this thing before marriage. He was so nice with me. You know, the child used to do certain things with me or, and it was nice and we could talk, but now it's just outburst and he's rude and he doesn't greet. And the reason why there is a change in the relationship, because as a parent, your parental style has now changed. You no longer just a boyfriend that was trying to win the attention of the other partner's child. Now you a parent and you want to discipline. Exactly. Yes. So it becomes different. Don't take it personally. Mm. The child is also needing to blend with this new. Tip three, give each other generous grace. I wish I had this type of advice, because I made all the mistakes in the book, but that's why I can talk about this now. So we need to give each other generous grace. So as I mentioned in the first step, there will be mistakes. There will be stepping on toes. There will be terrible outbursts and terrible things that we say. And I mean, you're shaking your head. My children was terrible. I love them. I know they're listening, but they were terrible and I couldn't understand it. But blending a family takes time. So we need to allow grace to make the relationship elastic.
Sure. Mm.
Even if that relationship hangs on a thread, don't let it break, because it matters to the biological parent that there's a relationship with the new parent and her or his child. Yes. I can remember that there were moments that, you know, where I was sure Johnny was thinking, nah, I didn't sign up for this. I'm going to hoy because this was not what I was signing up for. And then there were other moments where I felt like Johnny was now just too harsh because it's my children. How could he say that? You know, and as parents, we then go through so many, we wonder, is this the right thing? But it's because it's this confluence thing that needs to happen. The disruption is still there. We need to give it time to settle, but we need to know what is happening in the moment. So give each other generous grace. Don't let that relationship break. You need to pursue the heart of your blended child so that you can keep the love of the person that you marry, because it matters to the biological parent. Tip four, don't make the children the middleman. And it can come from two ways. The child can be the middleman in the house of the blended family, where every argument and disagreement about discipline and chores and that he was rude and why didn't you say something? Why do you allow this? And, you know, so when you do that, the child is in the middle of the conversation. It is a battleground, through them, about them, in front of them, around them. They're feeling all the punches. I'm sure you can relate to some of this, eh? And then on top of them, they also in the middle between the exes. Father saying this, mother saying this, or there's an absent father or mother that is doing certain things. And so they are constantly involved in those type of fights and arguments in front of the children about them. It ultimately can lead to them being the victims or the casualties of war. So we need to avoid that. Don't make them the middleman. And the last tip, which should have been my first tip, but the reason why I left it for last is because I want this to be the most vivid in your mind.
Yeah.
Allow the biological parent to be the main disciplinarian. I wish I knew that. I was so grateful for Johnny to come in and help me that I wanted him to be the disciplinarian. But my children wasn't ready. And he didn't understand what works for the children. So there were many mistakes that we had. We had like family meetings and I could see that my children wasn't really listening. That we need to first allow the other areas like culture and values and chores to kind of settle and transition before we go into the disciplining part or just allow the disciplining to come from the biological parent. I'm hoping that this is making sense. What is the listener saying? And I don't know.
Sure. 061-798-1075. Let us know how you feel. Take us through a similar story. Liesl, she is in-house. Elizabeth is saying, hi, Saka. I'm divorced a year. We stayed with my parents. My husband moved out before the time, so my son and I stayed behind. But things did not improve. Mm. I went in depression and moved out a month ago. And my son, who is 22 years, stayed behind with grandparents. And she says that I am blessed because he understood why I had to do it.
For real.
Sure. Someone else is saying, well, it's like, what a good topic. Such truth, the lady speaking. Children's emotions are so often overlooked. Yeah. True. Mm. So often overlooked when the two adults' parents divorce. It's so difficult for children when the parents divorce as they do not create the situation.
Sure.
So often it's just expected of the child. You know? to just accept the new situation and cope with no guidance. Sure. But the truth is, most times a divorce comes so unexpected for the children and they never had time to work through it like the adults did. And it messed up a child sometimes for life. Do you agree with that?
I do agree. Look, I'm standing here just by grace. My children didn't become the casualties of war, but they certainly were hurt during the war. They were hurt during the ignorance in which I was trying to make this blended family work. And I'm glad that we had the conversation to speak about what are the things that I could have done that would have made it better. And that is why these conversations are so important. So that others can learn from what we have already lived through. There was a reason why we survived it.
True. Mal is touching on survival mode. She says, hi, beautiful ladies. Thank you for this important topic. My parents' divorce only hit me as an adult, even though I was 13 years old. I needed to be strong as the eldest of my younger brother. That's also another dynamic. That tells me that kids can also go into survival mode and not deal with trauma because they do not understand trauma or even know they are going through trauma.
Sure. And I mean, Melissa's touching on a topic that really we can go deep because it is a psychological process. And in survival mode, you dissociate yourself from the reality. You're creating a space for you, for your own safety, for your own sanity.
Yeah.
It's a coping mechanism. And she mentioned that it hit her when she was an adult because it wasn't dealt with when she was a child.
Sure. Oh my goodness. And it shows that, you know, it's really important to deal with it now, to have these conversations. Let's have a listen to this voice note. I hope it's in line with this topic.
Let's hear what someone is saying.
Hi, Saki. It's such an interesting topic. I've listened the first time as well. And I just want to ask Liesl, even though I'm not going myself through it, I want to know that I'm sure we all have family members or somebody who's going through the same thing or went through the same thing. I just want to know, what do you do in a scenario where the biological parent is not disciplining the children at all and the other party who's coming in is stepping in to kind of find some structure and discipline in the household, but the children still reject it? How do you handle a scenario like that?
Sure. Again, I think there is no right or wrong situation, but I can certainly explain the dynamic that happens there. Because there's no discipline coming from the biological parent, this is what the child has become used to. And for another parent that is now, or a blended parent to come in to do something that is actually the responsibility of the biological parent, so there will be some sort of resistance.
Yes.
So in this scenario, I think it's important that a discussion needs to happen with the biological parent to bring context to the matter. Because at the end, ultimately, yes, the children are rebelling, but they have a reason why they are rebelling.
Yeah.
And we need to understand that and speak to the biological parent to find out what is the root cause why no disciplining is happening.
Because disciplining should be a natural instinct for a parent, because it is to kind of mitigate the consequences of wrong choices and actions. So if that doesn't happen, then it means you're leaving your child exposed. So maybe grow a little bit closer with the biological parent and guide and mentor and coach from both a spiritual but also strategically point of view.
I think the same can be said to A here, Mr. A, who's saying, I'm a stepfather and I feel as if my wife is too lenient on our 15-year-old daughter.
Okay, so strangely enough, that is what my husband also used to tell me with my children. And I think it's important that we have a conversation as adults separate from the children to establish, okay, what are the reasons why I'm parenting the way I'm parenting, so that the blended parent can understand. And the blended parent needs to say, well, I've observed and this is the reality of what actually happens. And communication kind of changes things between the adults, and the adults needs to come to an agreement. But the implementation of the discipline should come from the biological parent, but the conversation can come or happen between the parents themselves.
And in the same breath, I just want to know, with regards to having altercations in front of the children. How important is it to have self-control and say, we're not going to do this in front of our kids, especially if the blended family is fairly new? Maybe they're hearing the new parents saying, you're not grooming your kids well. That is why they're so rebellious, all these things.
I'm glad you're asking that question. Now I understand why God gave me the scripture this morning. This morning I kept on going back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. So in the end, the children, they experience love by how we behave and how we speak. So the minute they hear things that is not based on their image of love, they will immediately feel, this new parent doesn't love me. So that is why long suffering and patience and wisdom needs to be applied. That when you feel frustrated, I'm not saying don't feel frustrated, but because you are going to feel a lot of frustrations, but make sure that you discuss it separate from the ears of the children, because they still need to feel loved. They shouldn't feel that mother is fighting, is the only one fighting for my love. And because mother's the only one fighting for my love, the blended parent is now somebody who came in who's trying to break that love and influence what my mother is giving. So it is very important that it happens separate to the children.
Sure. Before I let you go, how can the church, very important, how can the church support the process of blended family confluence?
That confluence thing to happen. Yes. What can be done? Okay, I think we need to have more of this. Create a platform to talk about the common challenges in blended family dynamics. I think because it's so different for every family, we need to find out what are the challenges that you're actually dealing with. Also, maybe as a leader of a home cell, or you know, however the church is structured, do a dipstick to find out where the family is at. And once you understand where they are at in the process, then you can apply practical steps to maybe offer as assistance to them. And then lastly, I think this, break the stigma. It should be okay for somebody who delivers the sermon during Mother's Day and Father's Day to also speak about stepfathers and stepmothers. Because step is not evil. There was some cartoon character that spoke about the evil stepmom. Now everybody thinks everything step is evil. No. I think Johnny is a great stepfather. So let's talk about it. Let's make it normal to mention it, because it's the reality in our churches. And then just, you know, these things do get better. Again, look at the evidence around you. I am a person, blended family, and our relationship is beautiful. It wasn't initially during the confluence stage, but it gets better.
Kenny is agreeing to the fact that Johnny is great. She's saying, go Johnny, go Johnny. So Johnny, around for you, you're doing well, extremely well. Liz, my sister, it is time for the day. You know that me and you, we could go on.
We can go on.
You know, I really agree with you that, you know, such platforms to have such conversations that are needed.
It's needed.
It's really much needed in our communities, in the church space, in our workplaces.
In our workplaces also.
It's needed.
At school.
At school.
These are where the challenges are happening. And yes. we need to break the stigma and address these challenges head on.
Yes.
Understanding changes things.
Sure. I pray in the name of Jesus that God raises Obalizel to come and just chat about these things. Thank you so much. What can we expect in 2 weeks from now? Or we should just wait and be...
Queens! It's Queens Month. Mm-hmm. It's the month for the ladies. Yep. So all I'm going to say now, it's going to be all about finding our purpose, reconnecting with purpose. And... yeah, it's as women, we are the generational carriers. So what we're doing is very important. If we change how we battle and also build, remember we battle and build at the same time. So woman, it starts in our minds, and we are going to be talking about getting ready for reclaiming what is rightfully ours.
I am ready for that.
Hey, cook.
I am ready. I'm also cooking. I'm ready. Where can people find you?
They can connect with me on my social media. It's Liesl Snyman, and or at Kinsikaroy Consulting. And I mean, you have my cell number, yep. So. Please share it. It's my business cell number.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much. You're fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Always good. Thank you, Queen. So bye, everyone.
Bye. Right. It's 11:51. We'll be sharing her contact details just after I go pay our bills. And of course, shortly after that, I'll be saying goodbye. Can you believe it?
CCFM 107.5. Changing lives for good.
Right, it is the time where I have to love and leave you, pack up all of my things and go, and I want to be reunited with you tomorrow, same time, same place, God willing, that is of course. So, missed an important message from Simone, Liesl's daughter. She was like, please not forget to read my message. We're like, message where?
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 We went to go look for it, Simone. There was many messages.
Yeah. So she said, I'll keep saying this, but I'm extremely thankful for our journey. I love you with all of me, moms.
I love you too, my girl. Love you.
Sure.
I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done. I love you, sweetheart. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. What an amazing way to wrap up today's show. As I mentioned, tomorrow I'll be back. It's Wednesday, so unlocked with Nokwazi for all those kingdom entrepreneurs ready to unlock their kingdom businesses tomorrow, 10:15. Do not miss it. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor to tell their friends and their neighbors. It's 11:55. We've got news and English top of the hour, but I want to close it off with this one. It's titled Volje, sung by Alton Janssen, Neville D, and David J. Take care.